You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Joining me this hour, as I've said, is Paulie van Wyk, Daily Maverick and Scorpio investigative reporter. And we're going to be talking about her piece of journalism that everyone is talking about over the last 2 days. VBS Theft, Money Laundering and Life's Little Luxuries. Julius Malema's Time of Spending Dangerously. And I'd invited Paulie to explain to us the narrative in this piece of journalism and crucially the evidence, because evidence is critically important in any piece of empirical investigative work. Paulie, good morning, and thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Good morning, Eusebius. Thank you for having me.
Paulie, let's start with the big picture. It's now been a long time since that initial great heist investigative report from Advocate Motau had hit us and landed in the public space about more than R1 billion that had ultimately been stolen from municipalities and poor people in Limpopo. Since then, there has been drip, drip good pieces of journalism, with the minutiae being made sense of by many investigative journalists. This particular report, before we get into the absolute detail, which we'll have plenty of time to do, just situate it for me in the context of the larger story.
About R2 billion was stolen and literally robbed from BBS Bank. Now, involved were the bank's managers, politicians, and certain fixtures. So each of these people ran away with certain portions of the VBS loot. Now, that was very well described in the Great Bank Heist report of Advocate Mittal and Worksmen. Brian Chivambon, the brother of Deputy President Floyd Chivambo, was one of the main characters here. He was highlighted as one person who received R16 million. Now, it was crucial to go and look at what Brian received and how it was dispersed or how it was used. And from here on, we could see that the money was mainly used, the R16 million, for the ESS, for Mr. Julius Malema, and for Mr. Floyd Chivambo. That was the main reason for, or the main way the money was dispensed. And then we drilled into the detail because we were continuously asked for proof and for, to show what actually happened, including by the ESF, saying that we have no proof. So when we looked at the facts and at what bank statements say, it showed how Mr. Julius Malema used a slush fund legally owned by his cousin, Matsubani Paleng, to fund his lifestyle, certain business prospects, and his political aspirations. In a nutshell, that is what this article you just referred to prove and show in very much detail.
Okay, so at the heart of this article, as I understand it, is a legal entity called Mahuna Investments. Is this a bona fide company? What do they do?
No, not at all. If you stand back and you look at the company, you will see that it didn't tender for any government business or any other business at all. It doesn't have a website. It doesn't have a logo. And no one knows about this company when you ask around. When you dig deeper, you still see that Mr. Matsubani Paleng is the owner of this company. And when you still dig deeper and you look at the bank statements, you see that the bank statements doesn't look like a company's bank statements. There are no operational costs. There's no expenses paid. You know, there's no employees. There are no buildings being funded. There are no expenses expected from a company. Instead, it looks like a person being funded here, because the expenses relate to food, grocery, clothing, a political party, and accommodation and travel costs, and then some school fees as well. And then you look closer and you try and find out, okay, is this Mr. Matsubani Paleng's account, as he claims? And then you go, you see, but he only received director's fees of 245,000 rand over 2 years, paid directly into his own bank account. His name doesn't appear at all in the bank statements, and his social media doesn't appear to place him at the same space where the cash was spent.
Okay, so let me slow that down just a little bit for the public, right? So this entity exists called Mahuna Investment. You can't find any evidence of bona fide business activity coming out of it, but it has money in its name. And in addition to that, the larger chunk of the millions flowing in there does not even go to the individual in whose name the company is registered. But, and we'll come to this in a couple of minutes, the business bank card follows the footprint, the social media footprint of one Julius Malema. Is that right?
That's exactly right, yes.
Now, I thought that the defense of this dude, Mr. Paleng, was to say, Paulie, you are wrong. We do business. We provide services to Schameka projects. Why is that logically or practically not a defense that can hold up?
For that defense to hold up, you first must go analyze Schameka projects as well. And that was done some few months ago, and you wrote about it extensively. So Schameka Project is the company owned by Mr. Brian Shibambo. It is the company that directly received all BBS funds. BBS Link Company dumped several cash payments of just over 15 million rand into this company. Now, if you look at this company again, it received no income from any other company or entity other than BBS. So it's only BBS money dumped into this company. If you go look at what service would they have done for VBS, there is nothing. There's no documents underpinning the value of the money dumped into Schameka Project. And if you still give them the benefit of the doubt and you go and look at their expenses, you'll again see that there's no employees, there's no running costs, there's no, for example, business buildings or coffee and tea being paid. So again, this doesn't seem to be based on expenses, the account of the company. If you look at the account, it's again money going towards the EFF, the party itself, and then a lot of money going to two different companies, which is Mahuna Investments that you have just named and that we have seen is the slush fund of Mr. Julius Malema. And the second company is Grand Azania, which we by now know is the slush fund of Mr. Floyd Shibambo.
Okay, this is really interesting. So if you are a super fan of Julius Malema or the EFF, you will not get very far in critiquing Paulie unless there can be some case made for Schameka and Mahuna actually having demonstrable business activity that is above board, and there's no such evidence in terms of your investigation, Paulie?
No, not at all. And we've asked numerous times, and we really tried to give Mr. Brian Shibambo and Mr. Matibani Paleng the benefit of the doubt. We tried to, in our own investigations, try to find extra invoices, try to find what kind of work this company may be keeping itself busy with. Who do they employ? What is their business? There's just nothing that we could find overtly. And there's nothing that Mr. Floyd Shibambo or Mr. Matibani Paleng could show us, any examples, not one, to show us what business they're doing, what service they gave to either Schameka or to BBS. And then Mr. Matibani Paleng obviously said that he never received any BBS money, which is a shame because these own bank statements show money clearly marked as BBS star Shibambo.
Now, I've given you a tough time before on this story by asking for a tight causal connection between Brian's company and the EFF leadership. And not just alluding to, for example, the fact that people have familial relations. And on this occasion, I think I can feel as I read this piece, you taking on the burden of the critics by trying to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, as close as one can get to a smoking gun, that the business card follows Julius Malema. We're going to get into the minutiae, but describe also for the sake of explaining investigative journalism to the public, what the methodology was there to try and understand what happened to the money in this Dud account and who benefited from it. How did you go about methodologically trying to answer that question?
Yes. So at the start, we don't know who's actually deriving the benefit, right? We just said it's clearly not a business account. It seems to be funding a person or persons.
Mm.
So now you go and look at how many transactions are there. There's about 470. Just over 200 are point of sale transactions, which is made with a bank card, which records the location and the shop where the money is spent.
Hmm.
But before we even get there, you go look at the other expenses, which are internet payments. You look at the names cropping up here. So what we found was that Mr. Malema's children's names appear. The house that he lived in, that he rented, which is now an EFF asset, appear. And then there are certain business expenses, which relates to Makati Lodge, about 2 million rand of that, over 2 million rand, going to Makati Lodge, which is a party venue in Polokwane. Okay, so then we go look at Makati Lodge, who owns this. There's no overt lead to say who actually owns Makati Lodge, but we can see that Mr. Tepo Malema and Mr. Herbert Matlaila from the EFF and Mr. Matubani Palengi and certain other related Malemas are very involved in this business.
Mm.
So it clearly shows fingers pointing towards Mr. Julius Malema, especially because of the house and the children's names that appear in the account. And then you go actually track where he was at certain times by using public information like Twitter and Instagram to locate where he was, as opposed to where certain payments were made.
Mm.
And you try and do the same with Mr. Matubani Palengi, and you see what you can derive from that information.
Let me play devil's advocate here. You know what the uber skeptic will say. They will say, okay, Paulie, I grant you your story so far, but it is still circumstantial, as it were. Let's say someone bought an expensive handbag from a Louis Vuitton store at Mandela Square, and Mr. Malema was in the area. Okay, but Mavis was also in the building. Eusebius was there that day. How do we make the connection between the social media footprint and the money?
I think there are two points here that's very important. One that speaks directly to your question, which is we will excuse generic towns or cities like Bloemfontein and Johannesburg and Cape Town, right? Because a lot of people can be there. Half the country might be present at the time of the payment.
Yes.
But there were a few places that told us that something is up here and it correlates with Mr. Julius Malema's movement. Some of them are Freiburg, Mabato, and Drachtenberg in the northwest. Then we will also excuse the Durban July, even though it's fairly indicative, I would argue. But we'd excuse the Durban July too. But then there are payments during the EFF's birthday parties in 2017 and 2018. And then there are also payments in Bloemfontein, as well as in Polokwane and Tshego. Now, in all of these places, Mr. Julius Malema and the card visit at the same time. And when you look at this situation, how the card continuously, over the space of 2 years, follow Mr. Malema across the country, then saying, okay, but I have nothing to do with this, as Mr. Malema continuously tried to say, nears the realm of statistical impossibility.
I was about to quote, but you remember your own words verbatim. I think that's the clincher sentence, is where you say, in the light of how the Mahuna Investment Bank card followed him around the country. His denials seem to enter the realm of a statistical impossibility. Yeah, you understand, you've got a very good intuitive grasp of the law of evidence. Are you saying that, quite frankly, the quality of this evidence in terms of probabilistic reasoning is such that beyond a reasonable doubt, the man is connected here, and it's fanciful to claim otherwise?
Yes, absolutely. And if I was a police person, an investigator, I would then go and subpoena his cell phone record to point exactly where he was at the time of the payment. We would also go and ask for Mr. Matabani Paling's personal bank account and see where he made certain payments at the same time, and his cell phone records just to ensure to tell us where he was at specific times. But that is obviously something that a police investigator should do with their subpoena powers. From what we can do, yes, it is circumstantial evidence, but even compelling circumstantial evidence. And it's at the very least, if you are overly skeptical, at the very least, it gives us cause to go and investigate whether this actually is Mr. Malema's bank account, because everything else shows or points towards that fact. Now, we're just busy with point one that I wanted to make. Point two here is, okay, let's say this is not Mr. Malema's account, or his alter ego, as he tries to argue. Then he's still in a bind because he did not declare to Parliament that his kids received money, that a trust fund that he owns received money, and that the house that he rented in, and which is now an EFS asset, received money from this account. So you see, the problem is multiple here. There are multiple problems, not just for the fact that he may have been involved in robbing a bank, but also because he didn't declare then, if this account is not his, declare to Parliament that there were certain donations made to him that his kids and he himself benefited from.
24 minutes after 10 o'clock, if you've just tuned in, you are hearing the voice of Paulie van Wyk, investigative journalist for Scorpio, the investigative arm of Daily Maverick, and we are digging into her print media narrative piece about the connections between the loot of VBS Bank and Julius Malema via one entity called Mahuna Investments.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702 for the curious.
Paulie, let's go to the till. Let's go to those actual point of sale transactions and talk a bit more about some of the items that were billed here so that we can build up a picture of what kind of lifestyle was enabled by this money. I mean, I don't even know where to start from.
Maybe in July 2018.
Let's start there, right? Yeah.
People queued in front of the bank in Toyando in the cold and through the night, trying in a panic to get their money out of the bank. Let's start there.
Absolutely. Let's go exactly there, because at the same time, you start having the slush fund doing all sorts of work, eventually including things like incredibly expensive designer suits being bought.
Yes, so we confirmed that about half a million, just over 400 million rand, sorry, a 400 million rand was paid into the account of Alan Taylor Suit, which is the account of Mr. Linda Makanya.
400,000, yeah.
Great designer, yeah. So there's a lot of money that went to designer suits or went to designer clothing or, again, to shoes and so on.
And money was also paid to Nando's. Money was paid elsewhere. What were the kinds of things that money was being spent on?
So a lot of groceries seem to have been paid by the Mahuna Investments Fund from Checkers and Woolworths and Pick and Pay and Spar. The same went to money to Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Le Coq Sportif for certain clothing. In Durban, July, again, more than half a million over 2 years' time. One of the important businesses funded by Mahuna Investments was Mokepe Lodge, which is a very popular party venue in the northern part of the country, close to Polokwane. About 2 million rand are spent there. So it's really a lifestyle being supported and propped up here. So everything that one would use to live a very nice lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, you include here the City Lodge, the V&A Waterfront, a liquor store, a Mirage Hotel, and so it goes on and on and on. And at the same time, you've got the photographic evidence there that you've taken from social media where there is a performance of this particular lifestyle. It's incredible, right? Because as you also point out, is that the kind of monies that were spent here were several fold what an MP gets. So red flags ought to go off when this kind of lifestyle for an MP just pops up on our timelines like this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are not the first people to raise the fact that Mr. Malema may have an alternative income which he's not declaring. Certain MPs in Parliament have said the same, and they were sort of ousted as trying to police black wealth, even though they were black people themselves. So I think it's important to give credence then to that question at the very least, and go and look at the lifestyle being lived, the money incoming into Mr. Malema's legitimate accounts, and then do a lifestyle audit and see whether that is possible.
An important part of balanced and fair journalism is to, like in law for that matter, hear the other side. Have you reached out to some of the folks like this designer that allegedly had provided the service to Mr. Malema and therefore was indirectly a beneficiary of looting on your analyses? Have you reached out to the EFF, to the spokesperson, to Mr. Malema himself? You'll recall when I interviewed him before the election, he had said, yeah, Eusebius, I'm happy for anyone to even come and look at the EFF's bank accounts. What are the journalistic steps that you have taken or not taken to make sure that you give an opportunity to every single person implicated in this article of yours to give their side of the story?
The people directly implicated had a few days to help us understand their version and to help us to understand the account and ensure that we don't misunderstand certain things. So Mr. Matabani Baleng gave us a lengthy answer, which we included in our report. Mr. Malema and Mr. Biaseni, they said nothing. So we received nothing from them. I just hear that he's still from other media, that he's still sort of distancing himself from the payments and the income and the VVS robbery without really attacking any of the material facts here. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, we went around to certain shops and places where the money was spent. Now, the overreaching sort of message from them was that they are either fearful of getting crushed or that there are laws that they would contravene if they would give us certain video footage, or that they have deleted their video footage after a few months.
Okay.
That on the one hand, but one of the shops, the luxury shops that Mr. Malema spent some of his money at, confirmed that he made payments there, that he's a good client of theirs, and how he conducts himself whenever he wants to, you know, whenever he visits their shop, and that he has a personal buyer and so on.
And that he sometimes requested to have shopping bags that don't give away where he shopped.
Yes, exactly. Unbranded bags.
Yeah, okay, so we've got a couple more minutes with Paulie before I let her go to go and do her work. She's incredibly busy. I just want to spend two or three more minutes with her to wrap up one or two issues. In the meantime, it's
Eusebius Makaiser.
Eusebius Makaiser.
On 702.
Wrapping my conversation with Paulie van Wyk, investigative journalist for Scorpio, the investigative arm of Daily Maverick. I just have literally three questions, Paulie. Here's one from Twitter. How did you get the bank statements?
Legally. That's my answer, and I'll stick to that one for now. Remember that we have a lot of sources that have the country's best interest at heart, and it is a duty of a journalist to protect those sources. So more than that, it is legally derived from the source. I can't say more than that.
You have been told by some fans of Malema to go and open a case. We have ventilated that particular response to your journalism before, but let's go there again. What do you say to folks who say, go and lay a case?
The problem with that is if a journalist is the complainant and the investigator and then somewhere the judge and jury in the case, what would happen with us standing aside and criticizing politicians, corporate South Africa, the Hawks and the NBA at the same time? Because now we are a complainant in a case. That never worked across the world. It doesn't work like that. We cannot lay complaints against people that we are investigating. It's unethical.
Last question, I want to invite you to just comment, going beyond being the excellent reporter that you are. Obviously, linked to the last question, in fact, it is the duty of various crime-busting units to take an interest in this kind of journalism. What has or hasn't happened, and what are your thoughts on the fact that there's so many stories that have now been serialized coming out of the report of Advocate Motau, and yet it doesn't seem as if there is urgency with the agencies that have in fact a constitutional duty to take an interest?
Yes, it doesn't seem overtly so. I hear that the Hawks and the National Prosecuting Authority is looking at the VBS matter. The authority that has given us the most value at the moment is the liquidator, Mr. Anning Schuklal, who liquidated and sequestrated at least the top five robbers, including Mr. Tshisi Wamatoti, who was the former CEO of the bank. And including Mr. Brian Chibambo as well. So Mr. Brian Chibambo already paid back 1 million rand of a loan that Sameka Projects and Grand Azania received, and he needs to pay back another 1.78 million rand. And then certain cases will obviously be followed too. The Hawks and the National Prosecuting Authority now obviously have to lay criminal charges, investigate these criminal charges, and prove it in a court of law.
Polly, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule for the UCBS Mackayzer Show. I'm always appreciative of your time.
Thank you for having me.
That was Polly van Wyk, investigative journalist for Scorpio, the investigative arm of Daily Maverick.